In this bulletin, reports of up to 2,000 people killed after paramilitary forces advance in Sudan. Anthony Albanese arrives in South Korea for the APEC summit. And in cricket, New Zealand makes a 5-wicket win over England. Good morning from the SBS Newsroom. I'm Assam Al-Ghaid. Hundreds of people, including hospital patients, have reportedly been killed by Sudan's paramilitary forces after they seized the city of El Fasher in Darfur on Sunday. The World Health Organization says 460 people died at the Saudi maternity hospital, where patients and their companions were attacked. UN spokesperson Stefan Dujarric condemned the violence.
Today we were horrified by reports of the tragic killings of more than 460 people, both patients and their companions, at the Saudi maternity hospital in El Fasher. This follows recent attacks and the abduction of health workers. Prior to this latest attack, our colleagues at WHO verified 185 attacks on healthcare in Sudan, with 1,204 deaths and 416 injuries of health workers and patients since the start of the conflict in April of 2023.
The UN has announced a further $30 million in emergency aid for Sudan as more than 36,000 people flee from El Fasher. Rights groups have accused the Rapid Support Forces of systematic atrocities across the Darfur region as their commander admits abuses and promises an investigation. By Wednesday, the army reported around 2,000 deaths, while the Sudan Doctors Network put the toll at no fewer than 1,500. Israel says it remains committed to a U.S.-backed ceasefire in Gaza, even after launching heavy strikes following the death of an Israeli soldier, with Gaza health authorities reporting 104 Palestinians killed, including 46 children and 20 women. The military says it struck Hamas fighters, weapons depots, and tunnels, including a targeted strike in Beit Lahia. Israel blames Hamas for the soldiers' killing inside the truce's yellow line, with Hamas denying involvement. U.S. President Donald Trump is confident the ceasefire will hold.
Does that jeopardize the ceasefire?
No, nothing's going to jeopardize. You have to understand, Hamas is a very small part of peace in the Middle East, and they have to behave. They're on the rough side, but they said they would be good, and if they're good, they're going to be happy, and if they're not good, they're going to be terminated. Their lives will be terminated, and they understand that.
The death toll from Hurricane Melissa remains unclear as the UN's representative in Jamaica says the storm has left unprecedented devastation in its wake. Melissa made landfall in Jamaica yesterday as a Category 5 hurricane, with winds reaching nearly 300 kilometers per hour. UN resident coordinator in Jamaica, Dennis Zulu, says Jamaica faces widespread power outages and communications blackouts.
From what we know thus far, there's been tremendous unprecedented devastation of infrastructure, of property, roads, network, connectivity, energy has been lost across its path. But what is very unique is that the impact of Melissa, though very dire in this area, has actually spread across the country.
In Haiti, at least 25 people have died because of flooding due to the storm, while in Cuba, 735,000 people are in shelters, and officials report collapsed houses and blocked roads. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has arrived in South Korea's capital, Seoul, for the annual summit of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum. Mr. Albanese has also visited war graves in Seoul, commemorating the deaths of 281 Australians in the Korean War, while paying his respects to the roughly 17,000 Australian men and women who fought. He says he will do his best to advance Australia's national interests by establishing stronger ties with APEC nations.
One in four of Australian jobs depends upon trade, and 75% of Australia's trade is with APEC nations. This is the fastest growing region of the world in human history. And this week will be an opportunity for me to advance Australia's national interest.
Minister Murray Watt is due to introduce controversial environment law reforms today, challenging the coalition and the Greens to put politics aside and help pass the legislation by the end of this year. He will also address the National Press Club, where he's expected to say now is the best time to pass balanced reforms to the laws covering everything from mining to renewables and housing projects. It's Labour's second attempt to overhaul the Environment Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act within 12 months and comes 5 years after a major review recommended major reform. The legislation is expected to head to a short Senate inquiry after being introduced, and given the government needs support to get it passed, it's likely concessions will be required. In cricket, late replacement Blair Tickner has taken 4 wickets and Daryl Mitchell has hit an unbeaten half-century to fire New Zealand to a 5-wicket win over England in the second one-day international in the city of Hamilton. The win seals a series victory for the home side with just 1 game to play. The Black Caps bowled the tourists out for 175 in just 35 overs, and Daryl Mitchell again steered the hosts across the line as he had in their victory in the series opener on Sunday. Blair Tickner was brought into the squad as a replacement for the injured Kyle Jameson, and the 32-year-old wasted no time in making his presence felt. He bowled out former England skipper Joe Root, going on to claim 4 wickets in 34 balls, his best figures in the ODI format. With the latest from the SBS Newsroom, I'm Assam Al-Ghalib.